I didn't know this. I didn't know exactly what it was going to be and stuff. And of course, they had no idea what I was going to speak on. But the Lord really impressed it on me to preach on being dead to sin. And it fits perfectly with all of this. And anyway, I don't know any way to segue into this. But this, man, this is, you know, you don't really know how to live until you overcome a fear of death. You know, I was watching a documentary on John Wesley this morning when I was exercising. And John Wesley was ordained an Anglican minister, and he came to the United States in the 1700s as a missionary. But he wasn't born again. He didn't know the Lord. He was just religious, and he was very, very strict. He and his brother Charles had started what they call the Holy Club at Oxford in England. And I mean, they were so strict. He had even taken a vow that he would never get married, and he just wanted to be totally dedicated to the Lord. But as he was traveling to America, they came into a terrible storm, and he threw up, lost all of his food, and he was literally petrified of dying. And in the midst of all of that, there was a group of Moravians that were on the ship with him. And these Moravians were just worshiping the Lord, and they had peace, and it bothered him tremendously. And he saw that they had something that he didn't have. And it was because they weren't afraid to die that he recognized he did not have what they had. And so he came to the U.S. and he actually pastored a church, and it didn't last very long. He didn't see, I think he saw one convert, and he eventually basically got run out of America and went back. And when he got back to England, he thought he would check out these Moravians. And he went to one of their meetings, and they were reading Martin Luther's introduction to the gospel of, or to the book of Romans. And as they were reading that, he finally realized what happened. And he said that he felt his heart was strangely warmed. And that's when he got born again. And it was his fear of death that revealed to him that he really did not have a relationship with the Lord. And when he got born again, it was totally taken away. And as they portrayed in this thing, that's not to say that, you know, anybody looks forward to death or that we look forward to the pain or anything like that. But you have to recognize that, man, there is not only this life. This is very temporal. And so many of our problems come from the fact that we are just focused on this temporal life. You know, nearly every word in this performance was scripture. It might have been modernized so that it's in our language, but this was nearly all the wording of Paul. And he said that for him to live as Christ and to die as gain, that he was already crucified. Did you know you can't intimidate a dead person? Paul had already died. Paul had died to his life, and because of it, there was no fear in him about what people could do. They could threaten to kill him, and he'd say, "Great, for me to live as Christ." And they'll say, "Well, we'll lock you up." And he says, "Great, I'll get all of the jailer and everybody else saved." And they say, "Well, we'll turn you loose." And he'll say, "Great, I'll go preach the gospel." You know, you can't intimidate a person who's already died. And the truth is that through Christ, we have died with him to sin and to everything else. That's done in the spirit realm, but the problem is our mind doesn't always know it. And we get occupied just with this life. And again, there were so many things said in here about, you know, that it's not this temporal life. Everything that you see is just temporary, but it's the things you can't see that are eternal. And brothers, I want you to know that the truth is we are a spirit being. And we hear that and we say that we understand it, but the truth is very few people live from their spirit. Very few people live from who they are in Christ. And this is what God laid on my heart to share this week, even before I saw this, is to just help you recognize what your true identity is. Did you know many of you, if you were coming here and if I had not met you, but if somehow or another we were on the phone and if you were to call and I say, "Well, how will I know you when you get here?" You could describe yourself, how tall you are, whether you're hefty or whether you're skinny, and you could describe yourself, whether you have dreadlocks or whether you're bald. Amen. And you could describe this physical person. And if I was to ask you, do you have You know, what kind of personality do you have? You know, you could describe yourself, whether you're outgoing, whether you're shy, whether you're boisterous. Well, you know, you could describe a lot of things. But if I was to ask you who you are in the Spirit, most people draw a blank. And yet the true you is the spiritual being on the inside. This is just like the vehicle that we get around in. You know, I remember one time Jamie and I had just bought a brand new vehicle. We went to church, and the first day we drove that car to church, a woman backed into it and dented the door in, and we were just about to get into the car. And when she saw that it was me, she just was crying. Oh, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I damaged your vehicle. And I said, look, it's just a car. I said, I can get it fixed. And she was, oh no, but it's just terrible. And it's just a car. You know, we may like our cars and we take care of them and wash them and clean them and do things like that. But did you know it's just a vehicle and you can get another vehicle. That's all that this body is. This is just the vehicle that we get around in. This is not you. It's important. You can't live in this world without this vehicle. And so we got to take care of it and we've got to do the things that we need to do. But this is not the real you. And when this body dies, that is not the end of your life. It's just the beginning. And that is absolutely true. Again, this was portrayed so well. But the real you is inside. And sad to say, most of us are trapped in this physical realm to where we only know ourselves in the physical. We don't know who we really are in the spiritual. If you could ever see who you really are in the spirit, I guarantee you, you would be a transformed person. The truth is that in the spirit, you are identical to Jesus right now. This isn't what you're going to be like in heaven. It says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Man, those first two phrases right there, I could preach on that for hours. Most of our love isn't perfect because we don't know who we are. We aren't bold. We're fearful many times because we're only looking in the physical realm and seeing the things that could happen to us in this physical realm. But herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, speaking of Jesus, so are we in this world. It didn't say, so are we going to be in the next world. It says, so are we in this world. And most people, when they hear something like that, they'll immediately go look in the mirror and they'll think, this is like Jesus? No, your physical body isn't like Jesus. We've got all kinds of things, zits and gray hairs and bulges where we shouldn't and things like that. This physical body is not the part of us that is like Jesus. And the scripture says that we're going to receive a glorified body. But right now, this is not the body that we're going to have throughout all eternity. And you can search your emotions and your mental part, and I guarantee you, that's not like Jesus. Many of us have so many fears. Many of us are smarter than others. We understand more than others. There's all kinds of differences in this physical, soulish realm. But in the spirit, you are identical to Jesus right now. That's what it says. As he is, so are we in this world. Your spirit right this moment is identical to Jesus. And it's not identical in the sense that you're a baby and that you've got to grow up. You'll hear this many times. People will talk about, you know, we are born again, but we're just a babe in Christ. That's talking about your mental, emotional part in your ability to comprehend and flow in it. But in the spirit, you are identical to Jesus right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And the Greek word for one there is hes, H-E-I-S. And that means a singular one to the exclusion of another. It's not saying like God's up here and you're down here. He's complete and you're like him, but you're growing into him. No, in the spirit, your spirit is right this moment, the identical spirit. If you're born again, your spirit is the identical spirit that it's going to be throughout eternity. You aren't going to get more of God. You aren't going to have to be washed off, cleansed, injected with more power. Right now, you have the exact same power that's on the inside of you that is inside of Jesus Christ. Because it is his spirit sent forth into our hearts. Galatians chapter 4 says it's his spirit sent forth into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, well, then you aren't truly born again. When you get born again, it's not just changing your belief system a little bit. It's not you believing things concerning Jesus versus a Muslim believes things about Muhammad or a Buddhist about Buddha or something else. No, it's a change in the heart. You get born again and you become a totally brand new person on the inside. And it's not some have more of God than others. Every one of us that is born again has the identical Spirit of Jesus Christ. As He is, so are you. You are identical to Him. There is no variance in our spirit whatsoever. The only variance in here is the ability to understand, to believe. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you are born again, you've been changed into the very image of God. You got resurrection life on the inside of you, but you got to know it. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, is what Jesus said in John 8, 32. What we don't know is killing us. And I'm telling you, brothers, that God has changed you. If you are born again, you are identical to Jesus. You have the same power that raised Him from the dead. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Paul prayed a prayer that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we might see the hope of our calling. What is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us? The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You have the same power on the inside of you that raised Jesus from the dead. And I know that there's a lot of guys that say, well, that's true for Todd because we've seen him operate in the miraculous and people get healed. And you might believe that somebody else has this power and we believe only certain people, clergy people or something like that. It's not true. Every single man in here, you have the identical power on the inside of you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You do not have to go to somebody with their collar turned around backwards to get them to touch you and to do something for you. Every one of you have the exact resurrection power of Jesus on the inside of you. The only thing that's stopping it, it's got to flow through your brain. And we don't know who we are. We don't know what we have. This is what changed my life. I experienced the love of God, and it was wonderful. And it was a wonderful experience. I don't mean to discount that any at all. It got my attention and it lit a fire on the inside of me, but I didn't understand any of the things that I've just told you. I was in love with God and I knew He loved me, but I couldn't understand why He loved me because there wasn't anything lovely in me and I didn't understand. And the thing that changed me is when I began to understand who I was in the Spirit. And the Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is a Spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is not focused on your body and on your mind. He's aware of those things because He loves you, spirit, soul, and body. But it's your spirit that got changed. God is a spirit. And to really connect with God, you've got to connect with Him in your spirit. You have to worship Him through your spirit. And your spirit is perfect. Your spirit's as complete and perfect as Jesus is. Your salvation in your spirit is over. Did you know when you get to heaven, you're going to find out that 1/3 of you was completely saved the whole time you were here on the earth. And you had the power of God on the inside of you. And the only thing that keeps it from getting out into your physical body is this thinking, the fact that we don't know who we are in Christ. We only know ourselves in the physical realm. You can describe your body. You can describe your soul, your mental, emotional part. But you've got to learn who you are in Christ. And I don't have the time tonight, but on my other sessions during this thing, what I'm going to be sharing is some people think, well, yes, I believe I was born again, but I've still got this old nature. And you don't understand. I've been an alcoholic. I've been a drug addict. I've had this happen. I'm going to be sharing with you that you don't have an old sin nature anymore. You don't have an old man. There is not a part of you that is any more devil. Before we get born again, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:3 that we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But now that you're born again, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto God by himself, and has given us this ministry of reconciliation. In the Spirit, you are completely brand new. And this is what changed my life. I believe that God existed, and I knew that he loved me, but I couldn't understand how could I do anything, because I only knew myself in the physical. I could describe to you my body. I can feel, you know, whether I'm hot or cold or things like that. And I could describe whether I was happy or sad. I was in touch with my body and my physical realm, my soulish realm. But in the spirit, I didn't know who I was. And as I began to get into these things and learn that as Jesus is, so am I. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. I have the mind of Christ. I have that same power that raised Christ from the dead. The works that Jesus did, I can do also. As I began to see that, I didn't see it in the mirror. I didn't feel it in my emotions, but I saw it in the Word of God. You know, this Bible is like a mirror, is what it says in James chapter 1. It says, whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty is like a man that beholds himself in a mirror. This is our spiritual mirror. You can't see your spirit. You can see your body. You can feel your soul, but you can't see or feel your spirit. You only know the spirit through what the Word of God says about you. And I just learned to hold this Bible up, and it says, I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings. So when people ask me how I am, I'm saying, I'm blessed. And they've seen me when I've been broadcast on worldwide radio about this person who did, Paul Harvey said, this is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. And he talked about what happened to Jamie and me. And that day I had people come say, how are you? And I say, I'm blessed. And they said, well, I know that, but I mean, I want to know how you really are. And I said, I'm really blessed. Amen. And I just held this up and people, well, no, I want to know how you feel. And I said, I don't care how I feel. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I've died to this physical person. This is not what's controlling me. And you know what you saw tonight? If we could somehow or another put that into our life so that you really did get to where you weren't controlled by what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. You were controlled by what Jesus did in your spirit. If you could ever get to where that is more real to you than what the banker says, than what the lawyer says, than what your mate says, than what somebody else says. Man, it'd just set you free. And brothers, I know that, man, you came here expecting something. I believe that tonight God is speaking to people. That really, I just pray that the Holy Spirit opens up our heart and helps us to understand. But this really is such a powerful truth that you got to die to this self. You've got to get to where you are not trapped by the way that you were before you got saved, by the things that have been said about you. You are a completely brand new person, and I promise you, the person that's on the inside is identical to Jesus. In knowledge, you got the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. You've been renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created you, 1 John 2:20. You have an unction from the Holy One, 1 John 2:27. On and on we could go. Everything in you is perfect. You don't need anything. You don't need God to heal you. You've got resurrection power on the inside. You don't need God to give you wisdom. You've got the mind of Christ. All you got to do is draw it out. Philemon chapter 1 verse 6, Paul was praying for his friend Philemon, and he says, I pray that the communication of your faith would become effectual by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You can't acknowledge something that doesn't exist. The average Christian is saying, oh God, I know you can do anything. Would you stretch forth your hand and heal me? You're waiting on God to come from the outside, for Todd to lay hands on you, for somebody else to do something. And you're waiting on God to do something. The truth is, he's already done it. Everything's on the inside of you. You don't need God to do anything. You need to draw out what God has already placed on the inside of you. And you do that through the renewing of your mind. I tell you, you can't just go by how you feel. You can't feel in the spirit realm. This is the mirror right here. Jesus said in John 6:63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." This is spirit. This is the only way you can know who you are in Christ. And you have to read this. And if it says that you are a new creature, well, then it doesn't matter what the physical looks like. It doesn't matter what your soul feels like. You have to accept that I'm a brand new person. If it says that I'm identical to Jesus, then I'm identical to Jesus. If I can do the, if he said I could do the works that he did and even greater works, then I can do that. And you have to get to where you go by what the word says and not by what you feel. It's as simple as what I've described here tonight. It's not easy. The hardest thing you'll ever do is get to where you don't go by what you see in the mirror, what you feel in your emotions, but you go by what the Word of God says. I tell you, most of us are so trapped. We're prisoners to what we feel, and it takes time to renew your mind. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It says that's your reasonable service. This isn't just for the full-time minister. This isn't for the fanatic. This is for every one of us. Every one of us should make ourselves a living sacrifice. That means that you die to this self. A sacrifice is where you kill something. And God wants you to die to yourself and die to your own desires and die to you running your life and you being in control. The Bible says, "Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths." Proverbs 3:5. We are supposed to crawl up on the altar and we're supposed to give our life to God and say, "God, my life is yours. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything." American Christianity has really been diluted to where most people, it's all about what I can get from the Lord. It's all about me feeling good. But what you saw tonight, Stephen and Paul and on you could go with so many people. They've laid their life down and they died. And those are the ones who laid the foundation that we're standing upon. And I tell you, the people that make a difference are the ones who will literally crawl up on the altar and become a living sacrifice to God. And then verse 2 says, Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world." That means poured into the mold. This world is going to melt you. Every one of us have problems. Every one of us have things that come against us, and you can't help but be melted, but you get to pick which mold you fit into. You can either let the world push you away from God and you can become bitter and angry and all of these kind of things like so many people are. Or when the world melts you, you can say, "I'm going to be like Christ," and you can get poured into that mold. So it says, don't be conformed, poured into the mold of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transform there is the Greek word metamorpho. It's a word we get metamorphosis from. It's where a caterpillar spins a cocoon and then comes out a butterfly. You can see that kind of transformation in your life. How? By the renewing of your mind. That's what the word is. This word is given for us to see who we are and what we have in the spirit. And we get to where we go by what the word of God says instead of what we feel. And as you do that, it goes on to say in Romans 12:2 that you will prove. The word prove means to make manifest to your physical senses what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. This is how it will come to pass in your life. Brothers, I want every one of you to know God's never made a dud. God's never meant for anybody to just occupy space and die and be gone. Every one of you have the potential of being a world changer. What you see in me or in Jeremy, Todd, anybody else who's ministering, you got that potential and much, much more. There's not a one of us that has fully released it. There's not a person in here who God just meant you to be occupying space, a placeholder. God has something special planned for every one of you. Before you were even born, he wrote all of your days in a book is what it says. In Psalms 139, I believe it's verse 16. God did not write just an average day out for anybody. Every day is supernatural. I often say that if your life isn't supernatural, it's superficial. You ought to be able to look at your life and say, there is no justification for what's happened with me other than God. You know, today I had some things happen and I went back and was reading my journal from 2014. And I read 3 months of my journal and I was just literally overwhelmed thinking, God, there is no way that anybody could have done these things. It's God. There is no explanation for my life outside of God. I'm not a perfect example, but I can guarantee you that the things that God has done in my life, I can't do on my own. Right before my mother died in 2009, she was listening to all that God's doing and she stuck her little bony finger in my face and she said, Andy, you know this is God. And I said, yes, ma'am, I know this is God. And she says, you aren't smart enough to do this. And I said, you're right. I don't have any argument. I'm telling you that I'm doing things that are beyond myself. God is doing things for you. I read today about blind eyes that were open, deaf ears open. We had a woman right in that other building over there that was born deaf, and she came up. I prayed with her and she was healed. And that night we had two more deaf people healed. I can't do that. That's not me. But it's who I am in Christ, and you've got that exact same power on the inside of you. If you could ever get over your stinking thinking and thinking about yourself as I'm only human, you aren't only human. One third of you is wall to wall Holy Ghost. You have been changed. You are a brand new person, and you've got to die to that self. You got to get out of the limitations that other people and that you have placed upon yourself, and you've got to see yourself in Christ Jesus. And if you could do that, man, the sky is the limit. The potential in this auditorium is phenomenal. I think it was Mario, I'm not sure who this was, but anyway, somebody I heard say that if you want to find the place on the earth that has the most potential, says you need to go to a graveyard. Because the vast majority of people take their potential to the grave with them. There's very few people that ever live up to what God intended them to be. And I'm not saying that to discourage you. I'm saying it to encourage you. That most of us are shooting at nothing and hitting it every time. We're looking for the easy way out. We're thinking, what can I do that has the least potential for failure? And I tell you, if you're just trying to play it safe, you're never going to reach God's full potential. God will call you to do something that's beyond yourself. If you don't feel like you are doing something that takes God's super on your natural, if you think that you can do what you're doing and you've got the talents and abilities and you can do it on your own, then I can guarantee you have not found God's will for your life. God has something supernatural planned for every one of you. And it may not be like me. It may not be like somebody who's in ministry. But I guarantee you, He has something that He wants to do that is beyond just your human ability. You know, I was visiting with Colin Carr right down here. He's on my board. And we were talking with Todd tonight. And Colin in April, I think it was 15 years ago, took a step of faith during a recession. In what was it, 2008, 2009 or something, when everything was going wrong and they started a business which everybody told them it's stupid. And here they are 15 years later with offices in all 50 states plus Washington or D.C. area, so that's 51. They're seeing God do things. And I guarantee you, you can't look at Colin and say that it's natural. It's supernatural. Billy down here, man, he's amazing. He's a 10-talent guy. And God is using him supernatural. The things that he's doing, it's not natural. And on, I could go right down the line talking about every single person right here. And every one of us have that potential. You need to get to a place where you start living out of the supernatural part of you and quit being just a mere human being. The world needs some men to stand up. We're living in a day and age where it's woke. And we've had men turned effeminate, thinking that it's all about feelings and emotions and stuff. We need some people that'll stand up and get beyond yourself and beyond your emotions and begin to take a stand. if we had this many men that would just stand up for the truth in our culture today, I guarantee you, you would transform this place. If this many people, I don't know how many is here, but there's a couple of thousand. If we had 2,000 people that left this auditorium and everybody began to start living out of their spirit and letting Christ live through them, as you saw tonight, like Paul and Stephen and people that were willing to give the last full measure and stuff, I guarantee you, this would shake our nation. It would shake other nations. It doesn't take a lot of people. Did you know that the United States, there was only about 25% of the colonists who participated in the war. 50% were neutral and 25% were against the Revolutionary War. It was 25% of the American population that beat the mightiest nation on the face of the earth. And on you could go with this. It's never the majority. All it takes is a few people. On the day of Pentecost, 120 men came out of that upper room praising God. And here we are 2,000 years later, and Christianity is by far the largest religion in the entire world. We've got millions, billions of people that have been touched by it. Not all of them are truly born again, but I mean those 120 men turned the world right side up. We've got a lot more than that. If everybody was to receive what God is saying to you tonight, and if you were to start operating out of who you are in Christ, the sky is the limit. This could change this nation. This meeting tonight could change this nation if every person would just open up and receive it. I'm not overstating anything. I'm understating it. I don't have the words to describe what God has shown me about this. Man, I challenge you tonight. We got to commit ourselves to the Lord. Again, I know that many of you came here really expecting and believing for something. Some of you might, I don't know why you came, but I'm telling you that God is looking for a few good men who would just commit themselves to God. There was a revival service that Dwight L. Moody was in back in the 1800s, I think it was. And a man stood up and he says, "The world has yet to see what God could do through one person who is totally committed to Him." And Dwight L. Moody said, "By the grace of God, I'm going to be that man." And he only had a third grade education. He couldn't even read very well. He would read a scripture, and when he got to a word that he couldn't pronounce, he'd stop and preach and then start on the other side of that word so that people wouldn't know. And yet Dwight L. Moody preached to kings, queens. He preached on every continent of this planet. He led millions of people to the Lord. God used him with a third grade education because he just decided he was going to be that person who commits himself to God. And he didn't do it perfectly, but he did more than most of us. I'm telling you, brothers, God is here. The Bible says 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong in behalf of those who are perfect in his sight. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is here tonight, looking all through this auditorium? And the Bible says he looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And so God is here looking at every single person's heart. And he's saying, is there anybody here who will take this challenge? Is there anybody here who will open up and make a commitment that I'm going to find out who I am and what I have in Christ, and I'm going to start living out of the Spirit instead of out of my flesh? I'm not going to go by what I see or what I feel. I'm going to go by what God says about me. So help me God. And you ought to be responding by saying, "Man, God, don't look any further. Here I am." Amen. Praise God. I want to ask our prayer team to come up here, and I'm going to give an invitation for a couple of things here tonight. But let me say that I really believe in my heart that there's some men here that you may be a very good person, and you may be like John Wesley. You might even be a pastor of a church. But you don't really know the Lord. And you don't really have that assurance in your heart that you're born again. If that's you, I'm going to ask you right now to just get up out of your seat and come down here right now and let someone pray with you. And I know that a typical invitation, they'll have everybody bow their head and close their eyes. I've got some other things I want to do. I'm not asking you to come get the plague. I don't have to beg you to come. Man, I'm telling you that if you don't know Jesus, you need to know Jesus. And it's as simple. It's as simple as what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that's more than just saying the word. You got to make him Lord. Doesn't mean you're promising you'll never fail, because you can't keep that promise, but you are willing for him to take over your life. You want to submit your life to him. He is your Lord. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's really that simple. And we've got people here that we would love to pray with you. So if you have never done that, please come forward and let someone pray with you right now. If you are born again, but if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have to have that. Jesus told his disciples, even after he was raised from the dead and right before he went back to heaven, he said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high, the Holy Spirit." And man, they became changed people. They ran and hid before the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But after that, they stood boldly and told the Pharisees, "You judge yourselves whether we should obey God or whether we should obey man." They were different people. And sure enough, power came upon them. And there's many things involved in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to teach on it, but part of it is speaking in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, man, the Holy Spirit will allow you to pray straight from your born-again spirit, the part that I've been talking about tonight, and it will bypass the fear and the confusion that's in your brain, and it will allow you to talk to God straight in a heavenly language that doesn't have any unbelief, any discouragement, fear, confusion in it. So if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which includes speaking in tongues, you need to come forward right now and let someone pray with you. And I guarantee you, you will receive power from on high. So can I get some more people down here praying with people? We got more people coming than what we got room for. So if you are, say, if you're on staff with me, or if you're one of our Bible college students, would you come down here and pray with people and help us? It's the Lord that baptizes people in the Holy Spirit. We're just going to agree with you and pray. Praise God. So you can line up here in front of the steps too and pray for people here. That'll be fine. And then you don't need to come forward for this, but I'm going to ask you personally to stand. If tonight God has spoken to you and you've just been living so far below your privileges, you didn't understand who you were in Christ, and you still don't have a full understanding, but tonight you know God spoke to you, and you know that he gave you a revelation that he's got more for your life than what you've been living. And man, tonight you're stirred up and you're saying, I'm gonna find out who I am, and I'm going to start living out of the Spirit. And it's not going to be me living, but it's going to be Christ living in me. If that's you, I want you to stand and we're going to pray a prayer of agreement. Praise God. Father, we just thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for everything he's done. And Father, thank you that it's not out in heaven someplace, but as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Thank you for what you've placed on the inside of us. Father, thank you that we are complete in you, that we have all the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in us bodily. Father, we just thank you. And we pray that you open up the eyes of our understanding and help us to see what we have. Father, help us to see the greatness of your power, the same power that you used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. Father, we want to acknowledge all of the good things that are in us in Christ Jesus. And so according to Luke chapter 24, verse 45, Jesus told those disciples, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Father, I speak this over all of these men. And we believe that you are opening our eyes We believe that you are helping us to see with spiritual eyesight. Father, we want to get over being controlled, limited, bound to, imprisoned to just our physical senses and our feelings. Father, we want to walk by faith instead of by sight. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord's speaking to me right now that there are some of you that you've come from a rough place. You've come from some really bad stuff. And because of that, you know you're forgiven. You believe if you were to die, you would go to heaven. But you still think, how could God ever use me? You're only looking at yourself in the physical realm. In the spirit realm, you are a brand new person. You are already free. You don't have to do something to get cleansed and fixed up for God to use. In the spirit, you're already as perfect as you're going to get. You need to turn from that old life. You need to take those verses that you are in Christ and you're a new creature. And you need to quit limiting God by what you've been in the past. Mike Pickett spoke of this earlier today, that man, it doesn't matter what your past is, it's your future that counts. And right now, God is revealing to you that you are a brand new person, and you just need to throw those shackles off and quit being bound by the things that you've done in the past. You need to go by how God sees you, not how other people see you, not how you see yourself. Man, God has set you free. Praise the Lord. There's some of you that in your marriage, you have just felt like, I can't be this affectionate person. I can't show my wife the love. This is just not who I am. I'm just a mean, tough guy. God is telling you, He's changed your heart. And if you would start living out of your heart, you can be just as kind, as loving as Jesus is, because it's Jesus living on the inside of you. There are some of you that have just been unable to humble yourself and admit that you're wrong. And you're gonna live a life of deception regardless of how obvious it is. Right now, God is allowing you to just get over that. Get over yourself. And right now, you can humble yourself. There's some of you that tonight, you need to call your wife and to say, man, I have been wrong. God's just touching all kinds of people. There's all kinds of things happening in here. There's some of you that in the physical realm, in the financial realm, you've been a failure. You've failed in the past, and because of it, you see yourself as a failure, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And right now, you just can't break out of it, and it's because you are looking at yourself and your past experiences. In Christ, you are blessed. Everything you set your hand unto will prosper if you'll just believe it. Man, there's some of you right now that your past failures in business or whatever has been broken off of you right now. I speak that that is broken, and you are delivered of this right now in the name of Jesus. All you got to do is just reach out and receive it. Here's the power of God. Here's healing flowing among many, many, many people right here. Man, those of you that need a healing in your body right now, you just open up and receive. I tell you, the power of God's here. God's touching many, many people in your emotions, in your finances, in your body. Just every single way right now, God is setting people free. Holy Spirit, we receive your ministry and we receive you changing people's lives right now in Jesus' mighty name. Praise God. Somebody here that's bent over, scoliosis, you can stand up straight and stay straight. Right here, you're delivered of scoliosis. It's done in the name of Jesus. Arteries that have been clogged, veins. Man, right now, God's just rotor-rooting all that stuff and getting it healed right now. And I believe that all of that's gone. People that have had heart problems and the altitude has aggravated it. And right now, man, you can feel all kinds of things. It's hard for you to breathe. Right now, in Jesus' name, I just speak healing over you and command that heart to be healed. Somebody had part of your heart that was not working. Only half of your heart was working. Like half of it was dead or something like that. Here's the healing power of God right now touching you. This could also apply to somebody who's watching. Doesn't have to even be a man. You might be one of you ladies that's sneaking in on this thing. Right? Here's the healing power of God flowing to you right now. And God is healing hearts. Thank you, Father. And all kinds of things are happening. Somebody here with your shoulders, your spine, here's the healing power of God going up and down that spine and fixing disc. Thank you, Father. Vertebrae right now are being healed. And I can see the power of the Holy Spirit just running up and down your spine and touching people right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I don't have to call your healing out. Whatever it is that you need, just right now, begin to reach out and believe. Receive the word that was given tonight that in Christ, you're already complete. You've got God living on the inside of you. You don't need him to come just through me. He can come up out of you. Release this supernatural power right now. The Bible says with your mouth, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So begin to speak faith right now out of your mouth. Say, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Knees, you be healed. Back, you be healed. Bowels, you be healed right now. Pain, you be gone. Sickness, disease. Talk, release this power of God out of yourself right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody here came believing for your wife. And she hasn't really been seeking the Lord, or maybe she's been overcome with something and just in discouragement and grief. And you came here just really believing God for a miracle in your wife. And God spoke to me right now that that was your heart. That's what you've been praying for. And he's saying he's answering your prayer right now, wherever she is, whatever's going on, whether you are together or separated. The Lord is touching your mate right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says that the unbelieving mate is sanctified by the faith of the believing mate. And you came here believing, and right now God is touching that wife. Right now, wherever she is, whatever's going on. And you need to rejoice and receive that, because I believe that God is touching her right now and things are changing. Praise the Lord. And then there's other people that your wife sent you here hoping that you'd be changed. And her prayers are being answered right now in the name of Jesus. And God is changing your heart. Praise the Lord. Man, I believe there's all kinds of things happening here. There's much, much more going on than what we could ever call out. I tell you, the power of God is touching people. That's awesome. Praise God. Amen. Well, I tell you, it's been a good start. Good start. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And I've learned this, that God never serves dessert first. So it's going to be better tomorrow. Amen. So let's have Mike come back up here and tell us what's happening tomorrow. And I think we've got our cafe working tomorrow and stuff. So anyway, we got great food here. If you haven't already got a meal plan, I think you can probably still get something, or can they?
So the kitchen and the cafe will be out there available for people.
If you did not purchase a ticket for the